Book of Deuteronomy tonight, chapter number 31. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 31. Deuteronomy, chapter 31. I'm going to start reading verse number 9. I want to read down to verse 13, though it's not all that we will be looking at today. Chapter number 31, and beginning in verse number 9, says, "And Moses wrote this law, and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, At the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gate, that they may hear, and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. And that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as ye live in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you this evening for just the wonderful music. Father, we're so thankful that we can sing our praises to you, express our joy, and even sometimes our sorrow, realizing that you are the great mender. We pray, oh God, tonight as we look into your word, that you would just bless and glorify yourself. Give us understanding, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. I believe a caution needs to be rendered whenever we go to the Old Testament. And that caution is a principle of Bible study that is, I believe, overlooked so often today. Do not apply to the church what is for Israel. However, the saved Gentile has in its type the nation of Israel. For we find that it parallels so much as the children of Israel came out of Egypt, saved under the blood, if you please, left the world, go into the wilderness, and they wander and see God teach them many marvelous things. It takes them 40 years because of sin, and is that not true of us? But they finally get into the land of promise, and God works and blesses. And even there they have battles to face, but battles to be won. And so we find that there is, I believe, some type there. Both of us, however, face difficulties, as they did with the Egyptians, as they did as they fought with the Canaanites, the enemies of the flesh that you and I have, and certainly they did. And yet we also find that record is given to us of great victories. And I thank God we can have victory in Jesus. Now, when God taught Moses the method of education, he looked through the ages, and I believe he gave an outline for all generations to follow. Here in chapter number 31, we find some very interesting things given to us. We find that every 7 years, they were to gather together in the Feast of the Tabernacles and read the law of God. There were three feasts that they would gather for every year. This is one of those. And as they would gather every seventh one, they would go through the law of God. This would have been the books of Moses, sometimes referred to as the Pentateuch, what we would describe as Genesis to Deuteronomy. This feast was also known as the Feast of Ingathering and came at the time of harvest. And basically what it was about was to show forth the provision of God in the life of the Jew, not only at present, but also in the past, as he had provided for them. And I believe also it pointed to the future, as our God would provide for not only them, but for us as well. We find something unusual about this feast. If you go back to verse number 12, he says to gather the people together, men, women, children, and thy stranger. Wow. Even to bring the Gentiles that had settled there or round about, they could come to this particular feast and be a part of it. Now we find also that God gave Moses a song that was to be taught. If you drop down with me to verse number 19, and let's notice what it says. In verse number 19, it says, "Now therefore write ye this song for you, and teach it the children of Israel, put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. For when I shall have brought them unto the land which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxen fat, then will they turn unto the other gods and serve them, and provoke me and break my covenant. It shall come to pass, when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten out of the mouth of their seed. For I know their imagination which they go about even now, before I have brought them into the land which I swear." We have a tremendous song that we sing often around here. Some have called it the Baptist anthem, but we're not the only ones that sing it. It's not a Baptist song, it's for all the children of God. That song is "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." But not only do we find that God's people sing that song, but oftentimes we hear world's people singing that. And I heard a group just a few days ago as they sing that song, and I thought to myself, wouldn't it be wonderful if they really knew what they were singing? Huh? "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." And yet we find that it's a song of witness, not only to us, but even to the world round about us. We find that that song that Moses was given, that was to be taught, is in the following chapter. And it was God's design that from generation to generation, they would learn of Him. Jesus said it like this in chapter 11, verse 29 of Matthew. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul." He says, learn of me. The psalmist wrote, "One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts." And so you and I, we have a responsibility to pass on what we know to the generation following. And what a tremendous blessing that is as it takes place. From our text, we can begin to understand the tremendous importance of education. And when I speak of education, I don't mean learning a bunch of facts so we can make a living. But I'm speaking more about wisdom and discernment that we might live. There's a difference between living and making a living. A lot of people make a living, but they do not know how to live. I believe it's about having a proper worldview of which you and I can really understand all the facts that are out there. Do you know there's three basic worldviews? We find one of those called animistic. It's seeing the world as being controlled by many spirits. The American Indian was in that category. Much of the Middle East, or not the Middle East, but the Eastern nations are in that category. Many of the tribes, most of the tribes in Africa and even South America, we would find are animistic. There's also the worldview that is atheistic. And that is a world that simply is seen by man controlling everything. It's seen the world as being in our control. It's leaving God out. That's why it's atheistic, or could we say non-theistic? And of course, the other is a theistic worldview, seeing the world as being controlled by God, seeing the world through God's eyes. And of course, if we're saved, one of the things we find is we need our minds renewed. Because before we were saved, we were either animistic or atheistic. And after we get saved, we need to have that renewal of mind so we see things as God sees them. Amen? And thus, we need to pass that along to those around about us. I want us to notice tonight a couple of things. I want us to notice, first of all, as we consider our text and consider what God says throughout His Word, the practice of education. What I find interesting is in this particular chapter, how God told them to do it. In this chapter, we find that God said for them to basically what? Get everybody together. Notice verse number 12 with me. He says, gather the people together. Who? Men and women and children and thy stranger that is within thy gates. He says, get all of those together. Bring them into one spot. And then he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to read the law before these people. Now I want you to think about it for just a moment. Let's say you live 50 miles from Jerusalem, which became the point of contact for all of these things, and you would have to travel by foot. If you were fortunate, perhaps you might travel by donkey, but most likely most in your group would be on foot. And so there would be a long, long hike for you, maybe 2 days for you. Some of you, if you ever walked 25 miles, you would be in the hospital for the next 3 days. I'd be there for 3 weeks. And as they would travel, they would come into Jerusalem. They would set up booths. We might just say tents, but they would set up booths, many times made out of materials round about. And then they would hear the Word of God being read. Can you imagine a young child that every year they would go on this journey? And on the seventh year, as they would go on this journey, they would meet new peoples, they would camp out, and they would hear the Word of God being spoken to them. Would it not show to them the importance of God's Word? Not only to them, but to the nation and to their family. Do you realize we have a similar setup with preaching and teaching services where families come together? One of the things I've noticed that has taken place in the camp we go to every year, it's no longer really a youth camp, though that's the name of it. And we find that families come. And by the way, this church has made that impression on many of the pastors, and they're seeking to do the same thing. Because they see as the mom and dad come, the children realize how important what takes place here is. It's not just the fun and the games, it's not just the fellowship, but it's also hearing the Word of God as it's spoken on the mountainside, as we gather in the tabernacle and so forth. And so what a wonderful time that is as we do that together as a group. We also find the principle of education. The principle of education. We find, I believe, that what goes into the mind guides the heart. Isn't that not true? Yeah. We find that the heart beats because the mind is telling it to do so. And you can actually have glitches in your brain that will cause problems in your body. Matter of fact, the sleep apnea that I, at least I had, I think it got gone when they zapped me so hard, was actually a mind problem. Most people, it's because of fatty tissues and so forth in the throat. But mine, my brain just shut off every now and then. And I didn't breathe. Eh? It's kind of like people who go to church when the preacher's preaching and their brain shuts off. Eh? And anyways, I got to tell you this. I saw a thing yesterday, I believe it was a little advertisement of something I was reading, and it's a light that you can buy. It runs on a battery, and it's kind of a soft light, and it beams itself up to the ceiling, and it kind of goes on and off, on and off. And the idea is that as it comes on, you take a breath in. When it goes off, you take a breath out. And in the course of less than 7 minutes, they say it closes itself down slowly and you're asleep. I thought there's another method. Get sermon tapes. It'll put you to sleep. Huh? But seriously, the principle of education is we put in the mind that it might guide the heart. As these people gathered, we find that they were using several different methods, whether they knew it or not, for educating their children. There was the auditory. Many folks learn by listening. We have had in our past a young man that was in our school. We brought him into this room and played tapes for him as he was he had to hear it as he was reading it. If he wasn't speaking it out loud, he could not remember it. But by speaking it as he read, why? He's an auditory learner. And so he learned by listening. Many people are visual learners. They can read and gather from it. Some people, they read something and they say, huh? They're not really visually oriented in that sense. And those kind of people often are what is described, here's a big word for you, kinetic learning. It simply means you're active while you're doing it. How many of you can actually learn better if you're doing it? If you're putting your hands to it. We have a child right now in our school that if she, I give away the gender, well, they're all she's in our school, I think we're calling it Liberty Christian Girls School. Anyways, we're looking for boys. If she isn't moving, it doesn't register as much. Okay? And not as bad as she used to be, you got to give her that freedom. Now, some people, they jitter and jatter, you know, moving around all the time. They're not going to learn that way. But we find something very interesting. As they would gather, all of these things were a part of it. They were experiencing something. They were with their parents and they were seeing the importance that was being placed upon it. And they were having a learning experience. I say these things that I hope that we can understand some of the things that we do in our lives. And then I'd like for you to think about the power of education. I don't mean that you can get a better job and live free of debt and all those kinds of things. Matter of fact, the more you make, the more you probably are in debt. But we find there is power in education. I want to take you to chapter 32 and down to verse number 30. And this is a part of the Song of Moses. And it's interesting what it says here. In verse number 30 it says, how should one chase 1,000 and 2 put 10,000 to flight? Except the rock had sold him and the Lord had shut them up. Now it's an interesting statement. And basically what he's trying to say is they would never flee an enemy when they had their trust in the Lord. But when their trust is not in Him, then God is basically unavailable. He goes on to say, for their rock, the enemy, is not our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. Though they look and think that we're not able to. Listen, when we have our minds focused upon God, our hearts are going in that direction, there is power over the enemy. What's your big goal for your children or for your grandchildren? What's the big goal as you look at younger folks around our church and in your life? Is it not to see them be able to handle the difficulties of life? It's not about making a living. It's about learning to live. Learning how to face the obstacles that are there. The obstacles of these folks as they would travel those old dusty roads on foot. As they would live uncomfortably in those booths, as they would stand and listen, no doubt, for hours as they read the Scriptures. All of that, I believe, led them in the right direction. The power of an education. It isn't about multiplication tables, but learning to lean upon the Lord in all the battles of life. And there are many. There are many. One of the things we'll never do is be able to keep our children from the battles. What we need to do is prepare them for the battles, because they're out there. They're everywhere we go. And how we need what? To teach that. And the best way we teach that is being involved with Him. Having that part together. Marvelous it is. And yet we find that oftentimes our families are so distracted one from another. We used to have come to our table when the kids became teenagers. They would generally every night we had one or two extras, and never turn them away. And one of the things that I began to hear, I was really astounded by it, was several of them said, "We never do this in our house. We never sit down together and eat." And we normally, it wasn't planned, but we'd normally talk some and conversation. It always ended up in the same stupid place, but we'd have good conversation. If you want to know the end of that story, talk to Jeff. He's yeah, we heard about one this morning, didn't we? I told your mother, I don't know if she heard me, I said, "I need the board." Anyways, there's that participation together. Amen? It is so needed in our lives. Be involved. Amen? Let God use you in marvelous ways. And to our young people, don't forget that when you become parents. Be involved in your children's lives. And you see the results of all those things. God's good, amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight that we can find the model of education in the simple thing that was called the Feast of the Tabernacles. A time where they were taught the Word of God every 7 years. What an impact that must have been upon those young minds. As they were taught the song that Moses had given them, and no doubt they had no song books, but it was memorized. And that which became a witness to them, that down through the years, that song would be passed along. Lord God, I pray tonight that the song of God might be in our heart, that we can pass it along. Bless and work in our hearts, I pray in Christ's name. Amen.